Oder Frau Backe.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Are you looking for action figures, pro wrestling books, pro wrestling gear, title belts, music CDs, t-shirts, replica belts, wrestling DVDs, wrestling masks?
Alrighty, we are back after technical issues. Mr. Brian Cage, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Awesome, awesome. Welcome to Rubber Guard Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How about yourself?
Now that the technical issues are done and over with, I'm doing actually okay.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I do have my co-host on the line, Mr. Alex Saint. Alex, what's up, brother?
Pretty, I spent a little bit of time with you tonight.
Taking a little break from work, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Cool. Well, Brian, let's start out. How'd you get involved in this wacky business?
Oh, geez. Well, let's see. The only thing I wanted to do since I was fifth grade, and originally was planning on going to train down in UPW, but once they lost their connection with WWE, I decided nah, I didn't want to do that. And ended up hooking up with Mr. Primetime at PCW, and it was just a 45-minute drive outside of my hometown. So I went and started training there, and that basically opened the door for me.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll just make sure. Hopefully we got technical difficulties again. Okay. So,
no, I dropped the phone.
Okay.
Right.
So you started training. You started training where exactly, Brian?
Pro Championship Wrestling, PCW, under Mr. Primetime and Old School Oliver John.
Okay, so how did you make that transition from there to when you made your until you moved to Atlanta and started training Deep South?
Well, that was actually I'd befriended Chris Canyon actually in high school. A little backstory on that. I went to a Raw and Arco Arena, and I was a really big fan of his. And like my main focus was to make a sign for him and have him see it. And it was for the Austin Appreciation Night with Kurt Angle, went out there and sprayed him off the milk truck. And when he went off the air, somebody threw something in the ring and threw up on the ropes and pointing at him and stuff, all the Alliance members. And he saw my sign, gave me the thumbs up, and I was ecstatic. And upon leaving, the show, he came back out, and I ran back down the stairs, and he handed me the Who Better Than Austin shirt he had that night, and it was awesome. I posted all this whole story on his website, and the webmaster passed along to him, and he actually got in contact with me and kind of emailed back and forth, and I'd see him here and there for the wrestling events when they were in California, and just became pretty good friends, and actually had opportunity to work him a couple times, and up here in a promotion I used to run called MWF, and he knew I was looking to move to the East Coast, and he was moving back to Atlanta from Florida, and he called me up and said, "Hey man, I'm going back to Atlanta. I know you're looking to move out here, and they got Deep South out here. You know, maybe I can pull some strings and help get you in there and involved in that." So I was out of nowhere, pretty much on top of a dime, not really knowing or having a clue what was going to happen. I just grabbed a couple bags, quit my job here, and flew over there just for the chance, a small opportunity. And some things kind of fell through. Didn't really happen like I was hoping, but he did make a call to Mike Bucci or Nova or Simon Dean, whoever we want to call him. And he told me to go on down there to Deep South and talk to Bill DeMott. And I got there, knocked on the door, and asked to speak with Bill. And he came out, and I was like, "Hey, I'm Brian Cage. Did Nova call you?" And he's like, no, I have no idea. You know, who are you? Were you supposed to be here?" And I was like, "Yeah, he told me to come stop by. I'm from California." And he was like, "Oh, really? Well, come on in." And he brought me in, sat me down. We had a little chit-chat back and forth. I talked to Jody Hamilton, who was running it as well. And they basically gave me a little trial period. I got brought on as part of the roster. I wasn't signed developmentally, but I was like one of the only indie guys, you know, there that was training with them, working every show, working the house shows, and it was great.
So how did you make the transition from working the house shows, working as part of the Deep South unsigned roster, to eventually making it onto the developmental roster?
Well, what are you asking? I'm sorry.
So how long was the wait before you went down there without a contract? You basically
How long was that? Well, I actually never got developmentally signed. I was I was actually just a hair away from getting signed. Dr. Tom Pritchard, Dr. Steve Williams, quite a few of the guys real high on me, real put me over. But unfortunately, right as, you know, they were all pushing me, sending a couple of extra promo packages to them, Deep South, WWE severed ties, and thus that ended my stay at Atlanta.
What were your thoughts of training at the Deep South school?
Originally it was Bill DeMott for about a month, the first month I was there or so, and he was more of like a boot camp instructor. I mean, I'm not trying to like downgrade his like training, but it didn't really feel like I learned anything. Like, you would get in there and you would do, you know, some drills that basically just, you know, gas you out, but I didn't feel like I was getting any better and really learn anything or, you know, evolving as a wrestler. And then when he left and they brought in Dr. Tom Pritchard, hands down the best person I've ever seen in ring train. I mean, he told you tit for tat. I mean, what you should do, why you should do it, when you should do it, how to do it. I mean, he made so much psychology and sense out of just like a simple tie or a headlock. And I mean, that tremendously took a huge step from, I think, just my in-ring ability from those 5 months to getting to train there down there with them.
So how long were you training under Dr. Tom?
Dr. Tom was about 4.5 months, 4 to 5 months. It was like 1 month with Bill DeMott.
Okay. So after the Deep South school shut down, did you ever make any considerations to maybe go to Ohio Valley?
No, not Ohio Valley, but I really wanted to go to Florida, where they were moving to, FCW, and they were real high on me, and the developmental guys were like, yeah, come down here, Brian, come on down here. The only problem was I had made a promise with my then-fiancé, who we also had a kid with, that if I wasn't signed or, you know, the good prospects being signed by his first birthday, that I would move back. So they shut down, like, just a month beforehand, so... Unfortunately, I couldn't take him up on that offer, and I had to go back home. And so, I mean, that was bad, but I think it was an unforgettable experience. I don't regret it. And in a way, too, almost was happy that I didn't go or didn't get signed, just because I don't feel – looking back now, I don't think that I was fully ready yet, or at least as ready as I thought I would be. So I've still learned a lot, and had some good experiences back here in California. So it's been good so far.
How, because in the independent level, you generally, depending on your level, you're not cutting much promos, and then also you're not working in front of cameras. not like television cameras. So how did the Deep South School prepare you to work in front of a TV audience? And then also, how did they help you with your promos?
You're right on that. That's one thing I do regret with not, the promos and the TV work. There, they have every Wednesday, they'd run WWE promos, which you'd cut. You'd have one take, 1 minute. If you effed up, you effed up. But they send those straight out to corporate. And then we train Monday through Wednesday, and usually one of those days we dedicate half the practice to just promos. You'd get in the ring, and Tom would, have you just bust one. He'd just give you a random topic. I mean, like I did one on, like, baby vomit before, stuff like that, and just have you, just go. You'd get to bring in one that you did on your own. He'd tell you, like, an old-school one with, like, a random opponent, place, time, arena, all this stuff, and, like, a commercial plug. So, I mean, like, you on the promo class days, I mean, you get five or six different promos you'd have to do, and that was awesome because, I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking, too, because you never get to do them that often and to be on the spot in front of everybody who's all these just random topics. But it definitely helped develop it. I felt like I was getting a lot stronger as a promo. And every Thursday they did the TV tapings, and they had a couple different cameras out there. And that really, especially, you trained in the same facility that you'd have their TV tapings. So, like, throughout the training, you'd always be looking up at the camera. And it really, really got me focusing on, having my head up more and looking at the crowd. And every time, you do a move, you look right at the camera or work the camera side, the hard camera side. So that really helped out. And I saw that the first couple matches I had back in California, I saw that I was doing that a lot more. And kind of as time progressed, I seemed to slack on it just because, like you said, there's not really a TV or promo environment. So that's too bad.
How often did you actually get to get in the ring and wrestle with Dr. Tom? Or is he kind of hands-off?
No, he would do some stuff hands-on. Especially when you do this one drill where it'd be 5-minute body parts and like you'd just be working that neck for 5 minutes and then like the stomach, the back, the knees, the legs, so forth. And every now and then he'd get in with you and we'd work on that. That's probably the most times I'd work with him. Like he'd just do holds to you and work on your leg to show you stuff or vice versa. Right towards the end of it, he started to do every Wednesday, he would do an hour-long match with the guys, and it was just one person at a time. And I think he got two or three in right before they shut down. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that with him, though I was going to. So I never got to have any, like, real, real extensive, like, one-on-one match, stuff like that. But, I mean, just as far as simple, bumps or drills, this and that, and that five-minute hold training was only, like, hands-on Doc Tom stuff. But everything else we did, he'd just show you, and then I'd be working with the developmental guys.
And then also, how did working at Deep South help you to be able to call a match in the ring? Because I know from interviews that Rip Rogers has done, speaking about Ohio Valley, something that he really stresses a lot is being able to go in the ring with limited conversation in the back, and then go be able to go in the ring and call the entire match in the ring. And then a lot of times you don't see that so much in independent wrestling. So what was Deep South's stance on that?
That was the same thing. They always shunned upon people trying to call their whole match or can it all.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, the first few matches there since, I didn't know anybody and all these guys were, signed guys. And I'm just an independent dude. I wouldn't really call much because I didn't really feel, I was just trying to be respectful. And so they'd actually call a lot of stuff in the ring and that would get, that would work out fine. And then as I got more and more comfortable, you'd call, the finish and maybe a little opening spot, but pretty much most of it was just all called in the ring. And, same thing with the improv matches we'd have during practice. So that really helped just calling, a lot of the heat. And I was usually heel there too, so that really got a lot of practice to lead the match and call a lot of the heat and the hope spots. And, when I came back to California and started working indies, it was cake. Another thing too that Theory stressed on being TV was, you have the strict time limits, and they tell you, 2 minute go home time, so you had to, hit that right on the nail, and you couldn't work the same body part. So like, if you wanted to work the neck, you'd have to double check if the person after you, before you, isn't already going to work the neck. And so, I mean, that way you don't have the monotony of someone working the same hole throughout the whole night. And if you weren't on TV, I had a few TV matches, mostly dark matches. They had two different, like, split shows. And if you were on the dark matches, you couldn't punch, stomp, go to the outside, chin lock, headlock. Sometimes you couldn't clothesline. A couple of random restrictions here and there. But that way, just to, once again, get out of the monotony of seeing the same thing over and over. But it was cool to have, like, those restrictions to see, you know, what to make you do something else out of, you know, out of the box.
It would definitely help a lot of guys out, because I have noticed that a lot myself. Like, you kind of, once you start working, you kind of do the same things, and you almost need something like that to kind of break you out of your monotony. Because I noticed myself, because I've only been in the business for probably about 6 months. I'm training mostly down here in San Diego, and then I noticed that in my matches, unless I put a mental thought to it, then I'll kind of go in there and do sort of the same thing. So that's a really good draw. I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it was cool, you know, to try to, and that's what I try to do too, is always, you know, do something different. Like oh, last week, if I had a Northlight suplex and a back suplex and a body slam, you know, like, all right, I'm going to do three different things this time. So always trying to switch it up.
So you moved back to California after your time in Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
So what promotions did you work for in California since you've come back?
When I came back?
Yes.
Pretty much everything in Northern California. I mean, from SPW, APW, PCW, Brawl, newly FCW and BLW, NAW. I don't know if I'm missing any. A couple of random lucha shows here and there. Up in Reno, Scum was running their stuff. I mean, pretty much everything I've been booked for since I've been back.
How's the scene changed, if any at all, since you've come back?
How's what changed?
How's the scene changed in Northern California since you've come back from when you left?
Oh, I mean, some of the older promotions, not much. I mean, like with APW, SPW and stuff, I didn't really see a whole lot of change. I mean, I guess a couple of different guys, you know, are working the main events here and there, Fog City, you know, which was new, that place was blown up. I really like working there, and PCW has been up in Oroville, California, just so consistent with their draws, and their crowds are just on fire. And I had the opportunity to work, I think, the first two shows right before I left. And, I mean, upon coming back, I mean, they were only bigger and better. But besides that, I mean, pretty similar reaction and guys working and whatnot. There's, like I said, a few different new faces or new guys that have moved up ranking, you know, like towards the main event spot, but not a whole lot different.
Well, I'm going to step in here, Alex. When I first got involved in the indie scene out here in 97, there were pretty much just the two companies. They were All Pro and Big Time. Now, as of, you know, this past Saturday, there were five shows on Saturday. That's a lively scene.
Yeah, I knew three of them that were running.
Yeah, there were five of them. There was a lucha show, and there were four indies. That's insane.
What were the other two? I know the lucha, Fog City, and BLW. What were the other two that were running?
CCW.
Oh,
with,
that's right.
Vinny Massaro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the other one.
I forgot. I knew CCW was running too.
Yeah. There was the one up in Santa Rosa where they brought in the big names.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Fog City where we were at.
I actually worked BLW right before Fog City.
Oh, did you? Who did you work on that show?
It was supposed to be me, Rick Lecture, and Kenny K, Triple Threat, but it got switched to me and I don't know why, I just totally Chico Navarro.
Oh, cool. Cool.
It was all right.
You remember Chico, don't you? Alex, he was on that Big Time show in the four-way tag match.
Oh, okay. Well, who was he teaming with?
He wasn't one of the guys in matching gear.
Oh,
he was teaming
with
Ryan Von Kool.
Oh, okay. He I kind of vaguely remember him.
He wasn't a Ballard. He wasn't with the guys with the matching gear. He was one of the other ones.
That's amazing to me that guys on the independent scene have matching gear. I just want to throw that out there real quick. That's something that's a really big pet peeve of mine. It's like when two guys are wrestling and they're wearing matching gear, it's like, Locura. You know, I always rib him because me and him, we worked together a couple times, and me and him have the same boots, and I always laugh about that. But, I mean, like, some guys will come in there with matching colors and everything. Is that something you think about, Brian, that, you know, like, I imagine since you've been working a little bit, you have different pairs of gear that you bring to the show. So do you look at the guy and see what he's wearing so you don't wear the same thing?
You know what, actually, the newer gear, I guess, that I have that I usually wear is really the best gear I have. I have three pairs of gear that I'm supposed to be getting. Actually, two of them should be coming in this week in the mail that are sent out. But that is something, that, especially in Deep South, too, that I actually learned up more is to never be matching, you know, with your opponent. And I've worked Tito Aquino a few times, and he's always had the silver and black little skirt gimmick, and my shorts are silver black as well. And I was like, hey, man, you can't wear those. You got to change them like red and black or something. I was like, so we can't go out there like a tag team. But a lot of people, too, get a lot of their, like, generic random gear off of, like, eBay and a couple of little stores. So, like, you know, you go back there and all of a sudden you'll see three different guys with, like, the same exact outfit or just different colors, you know. You're like, ah, that looks bad.
Do you have a certain gear maker you would like to give a shout-out to? Because, like, something that I found it to be really hard to meet people who actually make gear. I actually found someone really good in Las Vegas who makes gear. And so do you have anybody in particular that you would like to promote that makes your gear? Or is it like a company or something?
You know what? The two people that I just started working with is Workerwear and Jameson Fightwear as well. I really like this guy named Adam Roberts that did gear, but he actually just got picked up by WWE, so he isn't allowed to do any guy's gear anymore. He forwarded me to his buddy that does the Jameson Fightwear, and I haven't seen a lot of his work, but he was real friendly, pretty fast, and pretty cheap compared to some other people.
Yeah. That's
okay,
a good thing.
You were this past weekend, you were in the ring with Slim.
Mm-hmm.
What are your opinions on Slim? And just to let you know that Alex on the other line knows Slim, and he's seen a good amount of his work. So what do you think of Slim in the ring, and how do you feel that the Slim's character and the angle that you have going currently in Fog City is progressing?
Well, as far as Slim's work rate, it was absolute garbage, man. No, I'm joking. It was the first time working with Slim, and I've never really seen much of his stuff. I've heard it before. As far as working with him, it was fine. Real easy match, I thought. I worked with BLW right before. I showed up, like, a match before our match, and just said a couple of things and really just, I mean, called it on there. I mean, it was mostly just heat, but it was real easy match, real fun working with him. The angle, I like how it, you know, is left open or in building. That is one thing, too, I put over that, you know, it's cool to actually have an indie fed doing storyline, because I feel a lot of indie federations don't really do storyline or try to build an angle. I don't really know where the angle is going, though, or, like, what exactly is you know, going to be the conclusion of it or what's going on. So I'm excited to be part of something, but Dom hasn't really clued me in at all exactly, you know, to where this is leading. So it's hard for me to comment on the angle.
Well, see, the thing is, the angle and the story, it's very simple. You know what I mean? It's not, and I've noticed with Fog City that they're keeping it really simple, and that way you don't lose, you know, your fans and whatnot. And you know, I'm not knocking the product. I love the product to death. I love Dom and Stevie to death. But it's very simple, and that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be too intricate. I mean, you know, it's not like you have 2 hours a week on TV. You know, it's a solid main event program. Alex, if you don't know, the program is Dylan Drake teaming with Brian Cage against Tony Jones and Slim. They had a tag match this past Saturday. And After the show, I was saying goodbye to Tony Jones, and then he asked me, because Tony and I, we go back 11 years, and he asked me, he said, hey, man, honestly, what did you think of the match? I told him, I was honest. I said it was solid, but it seemed like you guys finished quickly. You know, like you guys went home early.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the way, were you told to go home early, or was that just the way, you know, things played out?
Well, you know, I kind of, like I said, I came there right beforehand, so I was like, okay, what are we doing? And I thought there should have been a little more back and forth, or a little more offense on our side, because I come there and, you know, basically, like I said, there's just a lot of heat throughout the match, and said, oh, yeah, tagging Dylan, he's going to boom, 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 get you back in, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I was like, that's it? Like, I mean, I was kind of a little too short and sweet, and so.
It was kind of flat, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
You guys could have gone five more minutes and then completely told the story. You know, I mean, the work while you guys were going was great. The heat was great. You guys, you know, you guys were selling properly and things were going good. But it just, it was strange. It was like it ended, you know, kind of like someone got hurt where they called, you know, go home. But it was odd. But I don't know, maybe the powers that be want to not give everything away and do something again in a couple months.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that was, you know, Dom's call or if it was Tony and Slim's call or what to do that. Because especially for Dylan, he's so over and, you know, get the hot tag, and it was a flash in the pan. You know, it was like 3 seconds, and all of a sudden the hot tag was over, and I'm back in the ring and, you know, getting pinned. So I was like, I wanted there to be more, just so there's more hope when people get behind us to take the win, you know, and come back. And it just didn't seem like that really had as much to it. But, I mean, I still like the match, and would have happened, like I said, real simple, real easy, and I think at the point it cost to continue the storyline. But I do agree with you on that point where I thought it did just get kind of taken home a bit abruptly.
How's Tony Jones after that long, long layoff? Because he was off for a couple of years.
He looks good.
He was fine.
He hasn't changed a bit.
I worked him the show prior too, which helped set up the tag match both times. And I believe that's more where it's going. It's more, you know, me and Jones and Dylan and Slim, more of the two rivals there. But he was fine. I think he looks a little better shape too.
How old is Tony Jones now?
Fudge.
I was playing this up because I was listening to
three,
a Tony Jones
three,
interview.
I think.
I was listening to
a
Tony Jones
younger than I am.
A couple years ago. It's just interesting to hear him back in the scene, and now Mike Modest is back in the scene. All we need is Donovan Morgan to come back, and then
Donovan's in Florida. Donovan is in Florida. He is not coming back here. But it doesn't matter. He can stay in Florida. We need to get Mike Modest on a Fog City show, damn it.
Yeah, isn't he working a BCW show coming up?
That's a good question. He worked a shot this past weekend. I think it may have been for CCW.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm pretty sure.
I thought I heard he was going to be at the May 9th BCW show. I'm
oh,
sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
KZ, make a plan now.
You want to come up, brother?
Man, but what if I could?
Mike Modest and Jason Styles, man, that's money. Okay.
So how does your work change depending if you work an American show or a Lucha show, or do you not change at all? Because Lucha audiences are so easy to work.
You know what, too? I think my very first Lucha crowd, my work didn't really change a whole lot, and I think the match suffered. I actually thought the match was great, but the crowd didn't respond to it as much just because, you know, it wasn't as easy to, you just don't have to do as much. You just work the crowd more than the match. And so the second time, I changed it a little. I don't really do, I guess, lucha style, if you will, but I just changed it where you don't have to really do as much, play with the crowd. And then recently I just did another one as against Vinny in San Fran, Vinny Massaro. And he worked the crowd phenomenally, and that one he pretty much called the whole match for that, the match went over super well. And so I'm glad he did that just because he called it perfectly for the Lucha crowd because he's worked there before. So it changes an aspect where I think there's a little more crowd work and less screen work. Just to have the crowds interact, but I don't know if my style necessarily really fully changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the one thing I noticed that like lucha crowds, and I've also noticed that when luchadors try to work American shows, that it's definitely a transition because they're used to working the crowd more, and then American crowds don't always go into it if they don't know who you are. It's almost like they want to see you first before you know they'll really react to you. That's the way in a lucha show. I mean, that's what they want from the get. It's like they want to be part of the show more.
Exactly.
Definitely an interesting thing. So, KZ, you still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm just doing other things on the computer. I'm multitasking. But what we're going to do is I'm going to run down a couple names, and I want you to give me your first thoughts or opinions on them. How does that sound,
okay.
Brian?
A little word association, huh?
Of course. My personal favorite independent heel ever, Mike Modest.
Mike Modest?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I haven't seen a whole lot of Mike Modest. I mean, I know he is and seen some stuff, and of course, good old Beyond the Mat. So it'd be tough for me to name something. I don't think I've really seen him enough, and I've never met him or known him to really give a good first comment or word association that would go well with that.
Yeah, he was either working for Noah around the time when you broke in, so he was
didn't
cross paths, but
I knew he was over there in Japan. I knew he was in Japan there and Donovan Morgan and stuff, and like I said, I know of him, but I just haven't seen a whole lot or have met him, so it'd be hard for me to fairly say anything.
Okay, the guy who broke you in, Mr. Primetime.
I think he is extremely talented and gifted, athletic. I think the only thing that he has against him is I don't know if it'd be. What am I trying to say here? I don't know. There's just something missing about him that seems like he would have his outside wrestling and his personal life like a little more cued in. I don't see why he wouldn't be signed to like anywhere he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like
I hear you.
He just I know he's a great guy and he likes to go out, have fun and this and that. And I think if he really just dedicated himself a little more and, worked on his body and just had that all locked in. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't be, anywhere he wanted to be because he is truly fantastic. One of my top five in California.
I tend to compare MPT with Big Ugly, J.D. Bishop up in Sacramento. Big Ugly's got all the talent in the world. All the talent in the world, man. And that guy can work. You know, he can work for a bigger guy. And he just, he enjoys running Supreme up in Sacramento. You know, he's got his family and whatnot. I mean, that guy could be, under contract anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But he chooses to stay home. For us, which is great for us.
I think Zach's the same way where, I don't know, I think if, someone offered him a contract, he would take it. But he's really really strong in trying to just promote PCW and making that a big thing. So he's doing well on it so far, so I commend him on it.
Do you happen to know if the PCW has any shows scheduled in June?
You know what? They had one, and I think it was June 26th, 28th, like the last Saturday in June. But I just heard that they may take June off. So I know they have May off, but I don't know why or if they would be taking June off. I'm really hoping that's not the case.
Okay. Because I was hoping that they would be running to coincide with the Gold Nugget days up in Paradise because my in-laws and myself and my wife, we tend to go up every year for the Gold Nugget days. So I figure if I'm up there, a little outside of Orville, I may as well hit a show.
Yeah. Have you ever been to one?
No. I live outside San Francisco, so that's a trek.
Yeah, it's a small drive. Yeah, it's a trek for me to go everywhere, but that's just another reason I put the CW over, because it's only a 20-minute drive for me, so that's nice.
Well, I will definitely hit a show.
Yeah, they're not one of my favorites, but I think they're one of the best. I mean, there's a lot of solid matches, and I mean, the crowd is just, I think, hands down the best crowd I've worked for here in California.
Okay. Well, let's say that Rubber Guard Radio is putting on a completely independent show at the Cell Space.
Mm-hmm.
And I have you booked in the semi-main event, and I can bring in any independent worker. Who would you like for me to bring in to work with you?
Like anybody that's able to come in, you could bring in, huh?
Correct. And that you cannot choose TNA because they don't allow their talent to be videotaped.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Like, are you talking TNA
mm-hmm.
talent too, or just independent?
Just independent.
Really tough one. I always pop back and forth. I think recently someone that I've really liked watching probably be El Generico.
Mm. Yeah, I love Generico. I can't get enough of that guy.
Yeah,
I was
watching more and more.
I was actually thinking either Brent Albright or Adam Pearce. I think that you would be able to have a really good match with Adam Pearce.
Yeah, you know, I see that as well. I don't think that would be a problem at all to have a good match with him.
Yeah, I'm on a big time Adam Pearce kick since I had him on the show last Thursday. Since I had him on the show, I've been watching nothing but Adam Pearce matches, and I am not getting tired of them.
You told me you sold me on online when I messaged you because of Adam Pearce. So
yeah, I. You know, the champ. You know,
no.
The champ.
I understand.
Cool. So, what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I got PCW on Saturday, which actually is probably the most excited I've ever been for an independent match since I actually got to wrestle Chris Canyon. It's just been like a 7-month storyline or so building this matchup. It's me and Dylan Drake, or you know, Bud's partner's up there as well. And he's the Inter-California champion, and I'm the number one contender now, so it's just going to be a good competitive face-versus-face matchup, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you on top?
It's actually, I believe, going to go Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never actually got to do Broadway either, so that makes it more exciting, and I think it's really going to put the match over. And for the storyline, for where it's going, it's really going to help it. And then Sunday, I got the anniversary show for SBW.
Oh, that's right. 8 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow, can you believe that? 8 years in the same building. Unbelievable.
Well, actually the with
the Colonial still, right?
No, they're doing this one at St. Peter's Hall.
Oh, okay.
I know they usually always do the least anniversary ones at the theater, but this one is back at the hall. So I don't know if they're just done with the theater then or what happened there.
I think it's a logistic issue, and you'll find out on Sunday why. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
My big mouth will keep kayfabe, damn it. but that's good. Who are you booked to work for the Supreme show?
I think I'm doing part of taking their Battle Royal gimmick, and then it's me, Tim Anderson, and I think Shane and Paul from Reno Scum versus four-man crew from Portland. Who is it? Is it the Illuminators or something like that? Illuminators? I don't know. I didn't know who they were. Samurai sent me a quick little text about it, but it's an 8-man tag.
But the Portland crew, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, any word of you going up to Portland?
You know what? There was talks about that right before I moved to Atlanta, but I didn't really know if they were running much anymore. What was going on? And people said they were starting back up, so Yeah, if the opportunity arose, yeah, I'd like to go up there. I haven't really, you know, really searched into it, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on up in Oregon and Washington and, you know, the whole West Coast from, you know, top to bottom, you know, it's really booming.
I've really been trying to get my name out there and trying to work, you know, more just to get, you know, your face out there and work out of your backyard. I mean, this summer I'm actually planning on working a lot more SoCal dates. So hopefully that'll pan out.
Awesome. Awesome. Excuse me. All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the office. How could anybody out there that's a fan or a promoter, how can they get a hold of you?
I guess the most common way and easiest way is on the old MySpace, www.myspace.com/Noah's Ark 8 is the URL for my MySpace. Or you can
just
search
cool.
Brian Cage,
so,
either way.
So does that have your booking scheduling on there as well?
You know what? It did. I don't know if it's still on there. But if not, I'm going to put it back up. But if you contact me, I mean, obviously I'll know it and get back to ASAP.
Cool. Are you holding a baby by chance?
No, but my little boy just woke up, and he's chilling on the couch kind of by me.
Oh, okay. I kind of recognize that squeak.
Yeah, that's little Noah, hence the Noah's Ark for the MySpace.
Tremendous. Well, we do have a few more minutes before Brandon Bonham calls in.
Yeah, Brandon Bonham, huh?
What are your feelings on Adam Thornstow as a worker?
Oh, phenomenal. I mark out for that guy. Huge. I'm a huge Adam Thornstow and Rick Luxury. I'm a huge fan of both of theirs, and love watching their matches. I've got to work with them a couple times, and that's actually where things are headed in SPW is start feuding with Adam Thornstow. So I'm really excited and looking forward to that.
Good. That should be good stuff. You know, that kid, he has so much talent, you know, and so much heart. You know, you would never think he's 5 foot nothing. You know what I'm saying? And he's just got so much talent. And you know that Reno Scum gimmick is just awesome.
Oh,
awesome,
yeah, it's so over.
Awesome. Best gimmick, best act in independent pro wrestling as far as a stable. They had the whole Freebird thing going on and then some. And it's fun.
It's taking over like every NorCal federation. You know what I mean?
It's just good. And I love what they're doing in Fog City, where they're attacking the smaller guys and the Mexican guys. That was a wild match that they had Saturday night. They were all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and that was fun stuff. Cool. We are still awaiting
Bonham
to call in. Well, what we're going to do, is we're going to cut you off here.
Okay.
But I really appreciate you coming on, brother.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
Thank you for your time. And if I don't see you, I will see you at the next Fog City show.
Yeah, that's not until like July.
Is it? Wow, July?
Yeah, because I think they had June off already, and their May show got canceled. So I think they're gonna do the Keysar Stadium in July.
I wouldn't know anything, but we will find out at the end of the show because the boss, Caesar Black, will be on the show.
There you go. You ask him.
So there you go. We're gonna go to the horse's ass's mouth.
There you go.
Wait. That's right. He's supposed to be a heel, so thank you again for your time, brother, and have a safe weekend and we'll be talking to you very soon.
All righty, man. Thank you.
Awesome.
Hey,
thanks, bro.
Tell Bonham I said what's up for me, huh?
Most definitely.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Well, that was hot Northern California independent worker Brian Cage. Had a lot of interesting stories. You know, just something different. You know, I've I've spoken to Brian a couple times, but, you know, it was mostly, you know, shooting the shit, and, you know, we really didn't get in depth or anything. But, yeah, it was a pretty good conversation. I didn't know that he wasn't underdevelopmental. He was just there, you know, just trying to latch on like the Derby City guys do as far as the OVW product is concerned. It's the same way. So, yeah, that was a pretty good interview. I didn't know that Mr. Primetime broke him in, but Mr. Primetime is a really, really good really, really good worker, and I really enjoy his work. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a quick commercial for friends of ours in Chicago.
Are you looking for hard-hitting, high-flying, independent pro wrestling action? If so, your search is over. The superstars of Elite Pro Wrestling will give you just that. Elite Pro is proud to present Elite TV, which airs at 10 p.m. Central Time, Friday nights, 30 minutes, on Comcast Cable Channel 19 in the Chicagoland area. Elite TV also streams live on their website, www.eliteprowrestling.com, at 10 p.m. Central Time on Fridays. This show gets the stamp of approval from the Rubber Guard Radio crew, and I strongly suggest you go out and support the superstars of Elite Pro Wrestling.
Alrighty, the second segment here is once again brought to you by our sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com. If you need lucha masks, DVDs, WWE swag, all kinds of CMLL action figures, whatnot, go out there and tell Jeff that KZ from Rubber Guard Radio sent you. And Jeff, you got to hear your plug. You are listening live, so you get to hear your plug. So we're doing is we're waiting for Brandon Bonham to call in. All righty. Let's run down some quick news real quick. Let's go to the Observer site. Wow. What about that Joe Angle match this past Sunday? Match of the year so far. That was so much fun. Brought back memories. 93, the UWFI with Vader and Takata. That was just the good stuff. The good stuff. Yeah, let's run down to the news here. Anybody get fired today? No. No one's fired. We do have UFC coming up this Saturday. St. Pierre and Sarah in the main. My pick would have to be St. Pierre, first round knockout. He's going to put Sarah on his ass. Travis Luter is going to tap out Rich Franklin. I wish they could both beat each other to a pulp and, you know, both have to retire because I can't stand either one of those guys. Rich Franklin's just a pretty boy, and Travis Luter's a disgrace to his line of work, which is, you know, they're just jokes. But we have announced for the ROH show on April 10th at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. We have Brian Danielson and Mayor Fuji. It should be fun. Roderick Strong against Eric Stevens against Go Shiozaki for the FIP title. And this match, which I creamed my shorts when I read this earlier, this is un-freaking believable. Takeshi Morishima against the Necro Butcher. Unbelievable. On the line we have Kid Crazy, Brandon Bonham. Get on, B.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hanging out, brother. Hanging out. Just got finished talking to your boy, Brian Cage.
Oh, cool.
Shout out.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's going on? It's kind of hard for me to hear you guys. It's kind of staticky.
Okay. Static, huh? Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang you up, and if you can call right back in, we'll see if we can get this cleaned up.
Just call the same number?
Yeah, same number.
All right, dude.
Cool. Okay. Jeff, am I static at all? Jeff, am I staticky at all? Of course, you're not responding on aim out. Jeff, am I static? Is it me? Is it me? No? No static here. Okay, cool. So it was the call-in line. But, yeah, on May 10th, Hammerstein Ballroom, Takeshi Morishima and the Necro Butcher, that match is going to be insane. Insane. All right, let's patch Brandon in. Brandon, is that better?
Yes, it's much better, dude.
Awesome, awesome. Welcome to Rubber Guard. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Doing really good. How are you?
Cool. Not bad, man. You know, we're cooled off finally. It was a hot fucking day today, wasn't it?
Dude, it was pretty. Actually, you know where I'm at right now. It's not too bad. But in San Francisco, there on what was it Saturday? It was pretty damn hot.
Yeah, it was really warm. You know, I mean, today was just smoking. It's just too hot, dude. And I'm not used to this shit. You know, I don't like it. I prefer the cold. Awesome.
Yeah, dude, I'm from Minnesota originally, so it's fucking terribly cold there.
I hear you. So you're from Minnesota. Who broke you into this wacky business?
Well, I guess I've always been a fan of wrestling, you know, growing up. I was a huge Bret Hart fan. I mean, that's why I watched wrestling and lived for wrestling. Was a huge Hitman fan, and hanging out with buddies and stuff, we started our own little backyard league called Universal Backyard Wrestling, just like pretty much, I guess, everyone who gets into wrestling did at some point or another. And I used to do all the dumb shit. I used to jump off sheds and roofs and ladders and all that type of stuff. And I always had a passion for wrestling. I always thought it was, you know, way cool and way sweet. And then I did the whole backyard wrestling thing for probably like 5 years with friends and stuff. And then me and one of my best friends were like, you know, we really want to do this. Let's do this. Let's, you know, go get trained to learn how to do this and whatnot. So what we ended up doing was we went over to this guy's house where he had in his garage, he had a wrestling ring. His name was Bill Wasserman. And his little organization is called the Western Wrestling Association. So I started training with him and was there for about 6 months. Think about this guy. He's a really interesting guy. He's probably the biggest carny I've ever met in wrestling, actually, and probably the biggest liar that I've met in wrestling, which I'm sure what you know, there's quite a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bill Wasserman, you know, he's a big, fat, white dude, and he would always, you know, tell us stories about when he was on the road with Hogan and Blair and all of these guys and that in this wrestling ring that he had at this really shitty place where he was training us, you know, with his house in the garage. He'd say he'd have, like, chop battles with Ric Flair and stuff in that very garage years ago, and that he trained Booker T and all this bullshit, and we're just like, why is this dude lying to us? And then the thing that kind of topped it off for me was, you know, I wasn't too familiar with the whole Japanese wrestling thing, but I knew enough to get around in conversations. And he would tell us that he was the original Tiger Mask, and I'm thinking, dude, you're not even Japanese. And this guy is, you know, he's probably a good 350 pounds and tell us all this shit about how he won the Super Bowl and all this and whatnot. So, well, anyways, long story short, after about six months there, I said, fuck you, you know, and just kind of left. And then I went and trained over at the place where I consider I really got trained, which is called Midwest Pro Wrestling. And there I was able to hone in my skills as you know, learn a bunch of stuff and kind of develop a style for myself, I guess. And so after about 3 months of training there, they started booking me on shows and been doing it ever since. And that's where I met guys like, you know, Eric Cannon, and I met AJ Styles through them, and Amazing Red, Matt Sydal, you know, all these guys from IWA Mid-South, you know, like Chris Hero and Claudio and all them stuff. Those guys would all come up to MPW here and there, and so I met a lot of guys from the East Coast and just, you know, throughout the Midwest, a lot of guys. And I kind of started, you know, just wrestling more and more in the Midwest. And that's pretty much it, how I got trained, you know. how I got into it.
So, your first, okay, I'm going to say this. Your first professional match, who was it with?
My first professional match, if you consider the first place I trained, it was kind of weird. I got thrown into my first match with them, I guess you could say professionally, in front of an audience, a live audience, in a wrestling ring with a full production and all that crap was 1 week after I started training, actually. So what would that be? It was, started training the day after September 11th, I started training. So September 12th, it was like September 19th or something. It was a Friday at this place in New Brighton, Minnesota called the American Legion. And it was against this guy named Handsome Pete. Is just this redneck luchador, pretty much, but except he wasn't a luchador. He was this out-of-shape guy. We all called him Hippie. He kind of looked like Jesus and a hippie put together, and he wore a Confederate flag hood. Thus, he was Handsome Pete. And I played a guy called, what the hell, who did they have me be? I don't remember the name, but all I remember is that I wore, like, a white dress shirt, some black pants, and I had to wear a mask, too. I don't remember. I was playing some, like, gay luchador from San Francisco. And that was my first match. Kind of, yeah, it was very ironic. And the match, I had a blast. I mean, I've never seen the match. I don't know. All I remember is I had a ton of fun. I don't remember if it was very good or not. I don't know. Back then, I thought it was pretty good. It was actually probably a piece of shit. Those shows weren't too good. And like I said, the guy that was training me at first wasn't anything special at all.
Do you happen to have a date or what month that was?
Yeah, it was like September 19th, 2001. I'd say is when it was.
No. Okay. All right. Wow.
I just know it was in September and it was in 2001. I can't remember the exact date. I can remember the exact date for my first match with MPW, though, which was August 11, 2002.
Who was that with?
That was, it was me and this guy named, it was a tag match. It was me and this dude named Pretty Boy Delgado against the Young Stars, which is the Rising Star Shindog. Don't ask me what a Shindog is because I have no idea. And this other guy, Joey E., also known as Joey Envy, who has also done some of the IWA Mid-South shows and probably the guy that I probably click well with best in the ring.
Well, you guys teamed often, though, didn't you?
Me and Joey?
Yeah.
No, I never teamed with Joey. Never.
No?
Nope. Okay. The only guy I ever regularly tagged with was a dude named Ben Saylor, who kind of started around the same time as me, probably about a year after me, he started, and we had a tag team at one time. And I'm more of a singles wrestler. I don't really do too many tag matches, so. So other than me and Sailor.
What I'm gonna do is, I'm just gonna go through different companies, you know, of match results that I have of yours, and we'll discuss about, you know, any stories about the guys that you were working with.
Okay.
For Midwest Pro, the World Series of Wrestling Night 1, you were in the ring with Hollow Wicked.
Yes.
Any
that was awesome.
About being in there with him?
Well, I didn't really know too much about him other than, you know, he was coming from Chikara or whatever, because I think that's what the whole World Series thing was. And
yeah.
That dude, he was actually really nice, really polite, and, you know, all those Chikara guys, they were really, really cool, and putting the match together with Bob, it was, I don't know, it was very interesting. He does quite a bit of comedy, I guess, and I can't remember the match exactly to a fullest extent, but he was very easy to work with and very cooperative, and that's the last time I ever saw him and the first time I ever met him, too. So, but I thought he was a really nice dude, and I think we clicked pretty well in the ring, and the whole World Series thing was great for MPW, I thought, anyways.
The thing with the Chikara boys, anybody that comes out of that school or promotion, you're not going to have a problem with, because they are trained properly, and the trainers in their school just won't allow it. You know.
No, absolutely.
They
I mean, they, you know,
professionals, and you know, what more can you ask?
Yeah, with guys like Hero and Quackenbush, you know, I mean, there's a lot of. I don't know if Hero is still helping out with Shikara anymore or not. I'm not sure. But at the time, he was. I know, I think he was helping Quack train and stuff. And, you know, those two guys have a great mind for wrestling, and they got a lot of knowledge, and, you know, they know what's going on. So, but no, I'm not sure how long Hollowick has been wrestling at the time. When I worked him, that was back in, I want to say 2005. So, yeah. I don't know how long he had been working at that time. What's that?
2002.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, so he's been working about as long as me, and no, I really like working Hollow Wicked. I mean, hopefully I can. I don't know if he gets out here in California much, but I mean, I'd really like to wrestle him again.
He a couple shows ago, he came out to Gorilla with Delirious. Is there a tag team?
Oh, they are.
So you never know. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, they're really fun. So, for MPW, the World Series of Wrestling Night 2, you're in the main. It's a six-man. Quack, Hero, and Claudio.
Yep.
Against Version 2, Ryan Cruz.
Yep.
Eric Cannon, and yourself.
Now, yes.
This match had to have been wild with those
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I think it went like 55 minutes or something. It was really long. And I, it was pretty intense, actually, because we just kind of went out there and kind of called it on the fly, you know? I mean, it was just kind of went out there and had fun, and I ended up taking a pretty long-ass heat out there, actually. I remember those European uppercuts from Claudio. Those are pretty brutal at times, and you know, and then the Hero chops and all that stuff, and, you know, I think it went really well. It just... Dude, it was so long. I couldn't believe the people stuck around. Cause usually in Minnesota, anyways, people aren't really into the whole super long matches and chain wrestling. You know, they kind of like the spotty stuff. And so for them to stick around for the 60 minutes that we wrestled was just awesome. And I remember the one spot we had at the end, it was this huge top thing. It was like I took this suplex and then off the top rope or whatever, it was a huge tower spot. And then Quack caught me in a powerbomb on the way down, and I was like, holy fuck, dude, this is crazy shit. But the people loved it, and they ate it up, and I can't remember. I don't remember the finish, though. I know we lost. We lost. I think Cannon lost it for us is what had happened, and that was during the whole time when he just came back from he had this whole, like, losing streak or something going on, yeah. His shoulder and all that stuff, and but yeah, the six man. One of the guys up in Minnesota that does a lot of reviews, Chris Vetter. He's a big fan of long matches. I remember he used to always put that match over a lot, and I think even on the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla board when I started after the first show I had there, I got a pretty good response or whatever, and he put that match over, or that I wrestled those guys, and that was the only time I ever wrestled Claudio and Hero was in that six man. Mm-hmm. But the coolest thing about that match, I thought, is that toss-up uppercut that Claudio does. I took that. That was pretty sweet.
That just looks sick. It just
yeah,
looks
it was
sick.
Pretty awesome.
And, you know, he's just so different, and he's a breath of fresh air. Because there
is no one
on this planet that's like Claudio.
Dude, he's awesome. And I just remember, because back in, what, 2005, I was like 45 pounds lighter, and when he tossed me up and he hit me with that European, dude, I did like this big corkscrew out of it. He hit me so hard, it was crazy.
Well, just to drop a little news for those the fans that are listening live, when Claudio broke into the business in Europe, he was part of a tag team called Swiss Money Holding, and
yes.
The other half of the team is called the guy's name is Aris, and Aris has decided to move to the United States following Claudio's lead. Now, we are in for a treat because they are a hell of a team. They are good.
I've never seen Claudio. I've never seen the Swiss Money Holding take team. I don't think. No, actually, I did. When he came, Aris, he came to the U.S. not too long ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's when I caught him, when I saw him. I don't remember where I saw him. I saw him on a DVD somewhere. Yeah, those guys, the Europeans, they, you know, they have an interesting style. And Claudio, he can wrestle like a luchador, too. It's hilarious. I mean, the dude is so versatile. He's so good.
And the crazy thing is, Aris is the power man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what's odd. So I'm looking at the North Star Premier Wrestling Full Throttle event from September 16th, 06. You're in the ring with Lenny Lane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. Lenny Lane, that dude is... Continue, I'm sorry.
No, no. This is your interview, brother. I want to hear about Lenny.
Dude, Lenny... he's... the dude's hilarious, first off. The guy's really, really funny. He's a really funny guy. And the thing about Lenny is he in Minnesota, he kind of has this rep that he doesn't like to do anything, and he's really lazy, and he's just this cocky prick or whatever. And he, you know, he doesn't ever want to work with anyone. He just wants to pin me, pay me, or whatever, you know. But that's not true. When I worked with Lenny, he came up to me, like, a couple weeks before he found out we were going to work. He's like, hey, man, you know, I want to do so much. We got to do this and do this and blah, blah, blah. He said, no one around here wants to fucking do anything because they all think I don't want to do shit, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, man, you know, let's go and do it. So when the match came over to work with Lenny, and he just wanted to do tons of shit. It was just weird. I didn't, you know, because everyone said he didn't like to do anything. But we ended up having this long cruiserweight matchup. I don't know, I think we went like 15 minutes or something, and he ended up beating me with the Texas Cloverleaf. He's trying to get over. Or no, it was like, it was a Boston Crab. He's getting over the walls of Lane, I think is what he called it. But, I'm not too sure what that dude does in his personal life or anything like that. I'm not too familiar with Lenny too much, other than I just been on a couple shows with him. But the dude, he's just a funny guy. Because, like, for instance, there's this one guy that runs shows named Tony DiNucci. Dude, he's pretty much full of shit or whatever, this guy. And he just thinks he's so fucking cool and whatnot. But, I don't know, Lenny's a funny dude. He puts him in his place and just is like, dude, just shut the hell up. And I don't know. I wish I knew more about Lenny so I could tell you.
Lenny's day job, you up in the Minnesota area, you can actually have a pro wrestling birthday party.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I was just, yeah, that's right. I know
he'll come to your birthday party.
Yeah, that's right. I did hear that. I think he also runs a video store also.
Wow, that's cool. That's pretty cool.
And, yeah, he's a really cool dude. You know, he's really down to earth, and he's just one of those guys that, you know, he was in the big time with WCW, and he took it all in, and, you know, he likes to share. He shares that stuff and shares his knowledge and all that. He doesn't, you know, keep it all to himself in big league or anything like that. That's just what speaking of big league and all that, it's the funniest shit. Every time I meet, you know, guys that are on TV or wherever, I work with those guys or former guys that were on TV, they don't big league at all, but it's weird. Some of these fucking guys in the indies, they think they're so goddamn cool and shit, and then they end up big leaguing you. And it's like, well, dude, who are you? No one knows you. Just have some fun. Put on a show for the people and let it go. But,
I'm going through Eric Cannon's company, First Wrestling.
Yeah, very cool place.
The Return. On June 17th, 07, you are headlining against a former guest of our show, Mr. Tyler Black.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very cool guy.
Please tell me a good Tyler Black story, because I've heard many.
The only thing I can tell you about Tyler is the encounter I had with him this one time, and I wrestled him. So, you know, a lot of people always wanted to see me and Tyler wrestle around in Minnesota, and I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. You know, I think we have similar styles and whatnot. And I was actually really worried about that match because I hadn't wrestled in, I think, about 4 months. And all I did was kind of, as far as exercising, I just lifted weights and all that. So I didn't do any cardio or anything like that. And then I was kind of sweating it. I was really nervous. I mean, I can't remember being as nervous as I was that night, it was crazy. Because I didn't know if the people, you know, and even though it was only 4 months, and, you know, I was pretty over in Minnesota. And it's only been 4 months. I thought, oh, man, you know, the people aren't going to remember me and all this stuff. And then, when, you know, once and Tyler, those guys are all late, so I'm just freaking out. And I'm like, man, what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do? And, you know, I felt like it was like my first match again. It's pretty weird. So Tyler eventually shows up with Josh Abercrombie and M.20 Matt Cross, and, you know, I was just like, hey, Tyler, what's up, man? You know, what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do? And, you know, he had some ideas, which was good, and then they kind of rolled off his ideas, and we started putting the match together. And, you know, he was really calm and collected and everything. And the thing about Tyler is I hear he's a pretty good Guitar Hero player, and totally want to play that kid because I think I could kick his ass. So if you want to issue the challenge for me, we'll have a Guitar Hero off.
We got to get him out here, man. Get him out here in San Francisco. He can come on over. I have all of the games.
We'll do it.
Over and we'll wail. That's right. And my wife is doing the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure little guitar thingy. But she can – this is a shoot. She can beat me in Guitar Hero. So.
Well, I think I can beat you in Guitar Hero.
Oh, man. That's
I'm pretty good, man. I'm pretty good. But I hear Tyler's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wish I had a better story to tell you about Tyler. And the only time I ever really talked to him was that one night. And just, I don't know, he's a really calm dude, you know. And
well, if you get booked for Bola weekend for Gorilla, you'll hook up with him. Because
yeah, I hope I can get on that show.
I hear he's coming down, so.
Okay, cool.
Now, I am, what level are you at in Guitar Hero?
I play it on Expert.
Expert? All right.
Yeah.
Well, you win. All right. I'm looking at Pro Wrestling Rush, January of 07. You're in the ring with one of my personal favorite Midwest workers, Silas Young.
Oh, yeah. I'm
Mr. Young.
Silas came up around the same time I did, and I used to kind of not get jealous of Silas, I kind of always felt – when I first started MPW, they kind of put me aside or whatever, and, you know, they would use me here and there, and they had these big Saturday shows every month. And I remember that, you know, Silas would come up and, you know, he would get on the show or whatever right away and all that shit, and I was like, man, why won't they use me? You know, they'll use Silas, and he's been wrestling just as long as me, but – well, you know, I was a lot smaller back then. Silas was a lot bigger than me. I just always would be like, man, what the hell? I remember one time Nick Mondo was on one of the shows, and they didn't have an opponent for him, and I was like, you know. And one of my best friends, Horace the Psychopath, who is absolutely awesome. That guy's great. You know, he was always pushing for me and stuff and put me on the shows, put him on the shows. And you know, there was this time when I was going to wrestle Mondo. And back in, you know, 2002, I was still a huge mark, and I was like, oh, Nick Mondo, you know, he's a big name on the East Coast with his deathmatch shit and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, it'd be cool. You know, he's way over here in Minnesota. I can do some crazy stuff with him and try and get over and whatnot and just have some fun, you know, and people enjoy it and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I was getting ready, you know, I was going to wrestle Mondo or whatever, and then here comes, you know, Silas shows up, and, you know, they throw me off the car and they put Silas on against Mondo, and I was like, shit. I remember that match. Silas actually ended up, I don't know if he broke his nose, but he busted his nose open pretty bad doing a 450 splash. But now fast forward up to in January of 07 when I worked Silas. It really is a shame because the venue that we wrestled at really put a limitation on the type of match we could have. So we had a very, you know, boring, basic, typical wrestling 101 match, and we hit some cool little
lower ceiling.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, very very low. You can't even do a leapfrog; it's so low. And so that was the only time I got to work Silas, and I was hoping I was gonna be able to wrestle him up in Wisconsin because I started wrestling for this place up in Wisconsin called Mercury One, and I guess he had some falling out with those guys or something, and so that wasn't ever gonna happen there. And but yeah, the match I had with Silas with. It wasn't as good as it could have been, I think, just because of the limitations we had.
Cool. Let me see. IWA Mid-South. You did a double shot December 15th and 16th of 06. On the 15th, you worked one of my favorite workers, Brandon Tomasetti.
Yeah, my match with Brandon was, I don't know, I guess some people liked it. I didn't read really any reviews on it. I don't know. A couple of people said they liked it a lot, but I thought when I worked Brandon that I think I let him eat me up a little too much. I didn't know, because there was no one in the audience. I mean, there was probably 15, 20 people in the audience, so I didn't expect to go out there, you know, stiffing the shit out of each other and whatnot. So we were out there wrestling or whatever, whatnot, and dude man just rocks me in the fucking back with a kick to the spine, and I was like, oh my gosh. And he just kind of, and then he didn't really sell any of my stuff or anything, and, you know, and it just, he just kept stiffing the shit out of me. I mean, he beat the shit out of me out there, you know, I shouldn't really, I don't know why I let him do that as much. I was just kind of, I don't know, for some reason, IWA always made me nervous the few times I wrestled there. And I kind of just want, I guess, to impress Ian or something. I don't know what it was. I know they had this whole strong style stiffness thing going on. And when I wrestled Brandon, I mean, dude just, I don't know. It's like he wanted me to beat the shit out of him to sell for me. And I don't wrestle like that. It's not my thing. So, you know, he pounded on me here and there. And then he gave me that power bomb on the knees and whatnot in the end. And I don't know. The match, I wasn't too pleased with it. That whole weekend, I wasn't too pleased with the matches I had, but I just thought Brandon, I don't know. I'd like to work him again, I guess, but I don't think we worked too well with one another that night anyway, just because I'm not going to say it's my fault or his fault or anything. It's just I wasn't expecting to go out there in front of 15 people and beat the hell out of each other, and he was, so he beat me up.
Well, and the next night you worked with my favorite black Irishman, Rick O'Shea. Quite a difference. You had, you know, that rather large gentleman, Brandon, the night before, and then you had little Rick O'Shea. How was it being in the ring with Rick?
Ricochet, that dude was really cool. The reason I like Ricochet a lot is he's a big fan of Tenacious D, as am I. And he's a tiny guy. I mean, I always thought I was small, but I mean, it was so good being the big guy in the match. You know what I mean? So I'm always the little guy in the match. So I just felt like, yes, I'm finally I get to, you know, throw someone around a little bit and whatnot. That dude is, he's a barrel of energy. He's a quick little dude.
He's a bump machine.
I think
he's a bump machine, and he'll take anything.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know. I felt like he was nervous a little bit when I was wrestling him. We had the spot plan, whatever, and he blew it, and he just kept rushing. He kept trying to do it. I'm like, whatever. So eventually we just cut the spot out in the match. But up until that spot, the match was really high impact and fast, blah, 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 and all that. And, you know, it wasn't really good up until, you know, once we blew that spot or whatever, he got pretty upset out there, I think, and it kind of killed his morale out there. But, no, I thought Ricochet, and I also met Chuck Taylor that night. I thought those two were pretty damn funny. I mean, Ricochet, he's a weird dude, man. He's always doing little gibberish things and singing the Tenacious D stuff, and he's just a nerd. But so am I. So that's why I think I got along with him those two nights that I was working for Ian, and I thought Ricochet was a really cool dude.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there isn't really anyone in wrestling that I guess I really dislike. I don't really have any enemies. I wish I did. It would make for an interesting story.
Well, you will, dude. You're young. Give it time.
I've been doing it for like 7 years, though, you know. And
still, you're still a baby. Give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time. Okay, let's say, hypothetically, Rubber Guard Radio is going to put on a show in in the cell space in San Francisco. And you will be the semi-main event, and I will give you the opportunity to bring in any independent worker to work with you that is not under contract to ROH or TNA. Whom would you bring in?
That's a hard question. Man, that's a really hard question. trying to think of someone that I haven't wrestled before. That's not under contract with Ring of Honor, those guys now. Shit. You know what, dude? Dude, that's really hard. That's a hard question. Let me see. Someone I could... You know who I really want to wrestle? I really want to wrestle Brian Cage in the singles, to be honest with you. I don't know if you'd be the only guy that I would want to wrestle, but I wouldn't mind wrestling Super Dragon. I think Super Dragon could be... What's that?
No, don't even get me started on the fat guy.
No, you don't like Super Dragon?
No. He, he had the world, then he let himself go physically, and, yeah, I mean, I understand he's got injuries and whatever, but...
Yeah, that guy, you know, he's got a big name for himself. I don't know. It's just so hard. I wouldn't mind working Chris Hero either in a singles. It's just, that's a really hard question.
What I'm going to do is when we get off the air here, I'm going to call the powers that be at Fog City and see what we can do about having Brandon Bonham booked with the Disco Machine. I think that would be a fun match. I went nuts for Disco this past Saturday. I mean,
one of the nicest guys I've met in wrestling out here so far. He's just a really cool dude.
Yeah, his gimmick is just so over the top, and it's just cool. he can go, and especially, you know, the match he had this past Saturday with Nikki was exceptional. I've noticed that Nikki tends to work better with the boys as opposed to the girls.
Okay.
Because the month before we had her and Sumi Sakai, and it was kind of a flat match. But then this month, she worked with Disco Machine, and they just clicked on all cylinders. I don't quite understand, but yeah, that was fun stuff. So, what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend I am probably working, actually. Got to get this movie done. A lot of work going on in their visual effects side. So,
cool.
That's my other passion in life is the visual effects career. So I'm probably working on that. I might go up to the Pismo Dunes and do some four wheeling. You can rent quads out there, and it's pretty sweet. So I might go and do that too.
So you're gonna completely take the weekend off from wrestling.
Yes, I'm not wrestling this weekend.
Wow.
My family's coming down here for the first time next week, so that's why Fox City was my last booking I took this month.
Cool.
So I got to get stuff ready this weekend for when they come and whatnot.
So
no more bookings in April.
So where do you live exactly?
I live on the Central Coast. I live in Santa Maria, which is right next to Pismo Beach.
Oh, cool.
So I'm about, I'm like 4 hours away from you.
Oh, okay. Wow, you're way down there.
Yeah, a couple hours from LA.
Are you booked for Gabe Ramirez's show in Santa Maria?
Yes, right now I am.
Cool.
Right now I am. I believe it's me and Brian Cage against Billy Blade and Caden Anthony. Okay.
That should be good. Should be good.
Yeah.
If Billy brings his working shoes. If Billy decides to go out and actually do something, it should be good.
Billy doesn't have a choice because he's wrestling me and Brian, so he's gonna have to do something.
Well, Brian,
that show drew like 1,600 people last time. They gotta do something.
Well, Santa Maria is just drawn well whenever. You know, it doesn't matter who's on the card. I mean, they just draw very well for some odd reason. And I don't know. Maybe it's something in the water. I don't know. But Gabe or Roland will not tell me why. So
I'll tell you exactly why. There's nothing to do, really, in Santa Maria. And they love luchador wrestling, so they draw a lot of Hispanic fans. So, you know, they have the luchador show and all that stuff, and that's how they draw lots of people. And they do a lot of promotional work, too, though. I know that. So I think they do some TV stuff. You know, they do the stuff that you're supposed to do, and they do a really good job out here in Santa Maria. I don't know how they run elsewhere, but I don't know, last time here there were 1,600 people, and that was the biggest crowd I've ever worked for, and it was pretty sweet.
That's cool. That's cool. So, when's your next Pro Wrestling Guerrilla booking?
It is May 18th.
Okay. Do you have any idea who you're going to be in there with?
No idea. No idea.
Well, you see, you've been in the ring with both of the Young Bucks.
Yep.
Once for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and once for SoCal Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
What do you think of the Young Bucks?
Oh, those guys are amazing. I think they're like the new age rockers. Those guys are, so far, next to Brian Cage, I think, those two are my favorite guys that I've met out here in California so far. So those two and Brian Cage, I mean, those guys are just so nice and respectful. I mean, they're great. I don't know, you know. Nick and Matt, both those guys. Very easy to work with, too, and they like to work hard and, you know, and they like to do lots of stuff, which is cool because I'm totally down with doing lots of stuff out there, too. But, no, those guys got a long, bright future ahead of them, I think. I think they're going to make it to the top. I think they'll make it to the big time. Totally.
Next month, they are going on tour for Dragon Gate.
Yep, that's what they were telling me.
Pretty cool. That's good. They should they'll be able to keep up.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. Those guys are exceptionally good. I mean, they got a cool little good look, you know, and a fun little poppy little gimmick with the Hanson thing and stuff. That's pretty funny. And those guys can go, man. They know their shit. They got some cool little innovative things too. And like I said, I think those guys definitely have a future in wrestling ahead of them. I'd be very surprised if they don't get picked up. Very surprised.
Well, I would like to know how you got booked by a friend of the show, SoCal Pro Wrestling. How did you get that booking?
Actually, Gabe set me up with that booking. He was talking to Jeff, and he asked, and you know, and Gabe suggested booking me and Billy Blade, and he asked me if I want to do it, and I said, yeah, sure, you know, I want to get down to the South, because, you know, I want to start wrestling down there, and, you know, maybe this can generate something for me to get on to PWG or something, and I got down there, and I actually ended up wrestling Matt, and he put in the word for me to Joey, because I worked Joey at that last Santa Maria show, and Joey wanted to work me in the singles, and he said afterwards, and, you know, he's really happy with the match and everything, and I was like, oh, cool, you know, maybe that'll, you know, kind of score some points for me to get into PWG. So, you know, I got down to SoCal Pro, I wrestled Matt, and I didn't know who the Young Bucks were at all, you know, I didn't know, I don't know anyone over here, really, other than the people that I'm meeting now. And after I wrestled Matt or whatever, you know, he's like, you know, I'm going to go tell Joey, you know, put you on PWG and blah, 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 and I'm like, dude, that's awesome. So he went and told Joey, and then a couple weeks later, Joey ended up giving me a call and, you know, put me on against Nemesis.
Yeah, I watched that SoCal Pro match today, and it was solid. It was good stuff. Well, I'm gonna have to wrap up this interview because I have Caesar Black banging on my door to come on.
Man? You're cutting me off.
Hey, he paid you last weekend. So he's got to be okay in your book.
Yeah. No problem.
So if you want to receive fan mail or have a promoter book you, how do they go about doing that?
Go to MySpace. What is that? I think it's my MySpace is myspace.com/kid_crazy. Just so everyone knows, I don't wrestle as Kid Crazy anymore. That's long gone. Just Brandon Bonham now, like the drummer from Zeppelin. And so, yeah, just go. You either go into MySpace, do a search for Brandon Bonham, or go into Google and do a search for Brandon Bonham, and I think I'm pretty much the only one that comes up. So MySpace is the best way to get a hold of me through wrestling.
Cool. Well, Mr. B, it was my pleasure having you on, brother. We'll have to have you on in a couple months closer to Battle of Los Angeles time. if I don't see you at a show I won't see you at a show this month. I will see you definitely at a show next month, and thanks for coming on.
All right, dude. Well, I'll talk to you later, and thanks for having me, and we'll do it again.
Awesome. Thank you for your time, brother, and I will talk to you soon.
Later, bro.
All right. Okay, and the final segment of Rubber Guard Radio tonight is brought to you by our sponsor, FogCityWrestling.com. The up-and-coming promotion of the fans in San Francisco. Speaking of the devil, on the line, Caesar Black. What's going on, boss?
About as close to the devil as you can get. Stay cool, you know what I mean? What's happening? How you doing?
I'm cool now, brother.
There's a couple things, man. Couple things. One, it's Commandant. That's first. I am the Commandant.
Yes,
don't forget that. Okay? And secondly, man, you know, Bonham having wishes, you know, if you were booking over here, Fog City, let me tell everybody out there, the Commandant runs things. Everybody learned that last week. You know, they were all there. You were there, right? I'm the man.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm the man. Fog City, I run it. No name that radio DJ punk and punks like you, you're all learning the hard way. You know? It's cool, though. I got some announcements to make. I'm not gonna bore the people like Bonham, and I got something from July 5th. I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag like my man Brian Cage of the Wolverine did. You know, I heard you guys already talking about the move to our new fortress. You know, we've grown up a little bit over here in Fox City, and we're looking for new digs. And the good people of San Francisco are opening up the doors, and we're in talks with the Kezar Stadium. You know, down there right by Golden Gate Park, right off the Haight. I like to call it Caesar Country. And, you know, it's gonna be big. You know, so I just want to come on, you know, Rubber Guard Radio, the place where you invited us on first, so I thought this would be something you like to hear first, and all the people out there who just dropped their milk and cookies and said, what did he just say? You know, because when Caesar speaks, things like that happen. Hey, where's your sidekick?
He's working.
Oh, right on. The big...
Fuck him, I don't need him.
His posse doesn't provide him a penance. See, if he was a good leader, he'd have a collection plate, and he could pass it around. He wouldn't have to work. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know. So, you know, I just want to, you know, let everybody know out there. You know, we got a lot of big things coming up in Fox City, and as the Commandant, it's, you know, it's my general duty to inform San Francisco and the world, all the homies out there. And all the people that hate Caesar and all those that hail Caesar, you know, alike, they're going to be really happy with the move. The city of San Francisco is going to be happy with the move. The only person who's not going to be happy is Armani, because it's more floor friend than mop. That scrub Marcus Mack, the ring announcer, you know, he's going to have to use his grown-up voice a little bit louder. You know, the whole thing is going to be bigger, you know, so we're looking forward to it. And the first is going to be July 5th. Independence Day, it's going to be a brave new world.
Tremendous. Now, this is the Kezar Pavilion?
Yeah.
Cool.
The indoor pavilion?
It's a pretty nice venue.
Oh, it's awesome.
It is. Nothing compares to the cell space, but Kezar is a close second. So.
You know, I was, Kezar is a close second. Kezar is definitely... You know, it's the I guess it'd be like the baby Brogan before you go get your first Timberland. You know, the cap office would be like in a nice new pair of Tims, which I'm sure you don't know anything about because you have no style. And Caesar has style. People out there who know style know that what I'm talking about. And you know those little white shoes the babies use and they start kicking daddy in the nuts. That's what the Kezar is. Kezar's a nice kick to the nuts to everybody out there, and letting them know that we're real. We got all the tools for it. We got plenty. If you haven't been out there and checked us out in the real world of media, you know, we were just on Alice 97.3, a non-internet station. We've been on Cron 4. I think we've exploded the YouTube. The highlight reels are blowing up. So everybody out there is feeling us. We're being felt just about every continent around the world right now. We're checking our hits from the website. And, you know, our fourth or fifth biggest supporter is New York. Go figure. It must be all that flavor Caesar kicks when he's there at the clubs doing the nightlife thing. So it's worldwide, and we're just doing what we told the whole planet we were gonna do. You know, we came out here for one reason. You know, Fox City. We came out to bring respectability and pride back to the Bay Area wrestling. You know, a lot of the grassy high bullshit that goes on out there, and we're not about that. We're about the business of putting on great shows, and you know, we've been doing that. You know, Stevie Armani put on one great one, and me as the commandant, I just put on, you know, two bangers, if I'm going to say myself, and, you know, it's going down. That's what we do.
Speak up, Mark.
Listen to me, you dirty wombat. If I ever hear you coming on here and calling me names again, man, it's going to be bad news for you, brother. You know exactly who this is.
I can't believe you put Mr. No Alternate on the line. I still have your hat on my wall. If you want it back, you know where I live, pal.
Okay. No, you know, you are doing some good things by moving us over to. I'll tip my hat to that. That you are moving us all on over to the Keysar Pavilion. That's a good thing. But never forget, you ain't nothing with all of us. C's. Nothing. I'm gonna leave it at that. Yeah.
You know, Caesar's a lot like the Old West. In the Old West, you had these like towns that had you know, the one horse town. You got the picture of the saloon on one side, the post office on one side. You got the little things with the horses tied up to them. All they call those little things, you know. And Caesar is like, Caesar's like one of those guys who comes in on the nice fancy car. He comes rolling into town, and he drops his thing and says, "Everybody, step right up. Inside here is the greatest show in the world," and everybody laughs. And then they go inside, and it's the greatest show in the world because Caesar told him it was. That's what's going on right now, you know. You know, and Marcus Magna have a point. You know, the fog eyes are definitely a vital key to it. You know, but the engine that makes this little engine go up the hill right here, you know. And some of the things we're working on for said July 5th show. You know, we've got our finger, you know, sticking over towards the east a little bit. You know, we got our thumb pointed back towards the south a little bit. We got some legendary figures who we're on the line with, and I had to send carrier pigeons to those old farts, but they're out there, and they know to come. And so I'm just gonna say three adjectives right here: bigger, badder, bolder. Hands down, Fox City's about to turn it out. Okay. I'm ashamed every time I turn around and I open up one of those PWIs and I look at it and I look in the back and it says Rinky Dink Pro Wrestling with X Guy, you know, champ. They got the results in there and we're nowhere to be found. And we started a revival when we kicked off Fog City and everybody doubted, you know, and now the doubt has become everybody anticipates. So we went from doubt to anticipation and now we're about to move into expectation. I want people to expect great things from us, you know what I mean? Because I expect them for myself, you know. Somebody I can tell you will be at July 5th. Mr. Bond will be really interested to know this. I got sick of his whining and complaining. Called up a close personal friend of mine, Eric Cannon. He is going to come here, and he told me that if I need it done, Bonham's out like that. So Eric Cannon's coming to Fog City. That's a fact. You can write it down.
Oh,
and,
hell yes.
You can write that down. You can thank Caesar for that. You know, to quote my good friend, the King of the Persians, I am kind. And, so, yeah, we're about to rock it. And I want everybody to go get their pencils. I'm gonna give a 5 second delay so you can go pick up your pencils. I want you to write this down. All right, July 5th, 2008. If you do not make it out to the Keysar, your life, as you know it, is going to be a little lonely. You're going to have something missing inside of you because you're going to miss the one thing that you came out to and said, man, that was my city. That was awesome. That was the whole show, you know. To quote to all those people out there who love the ECW references, this will be the whole effing show, you know. And I love that T-shirt. The only thing from ECW that I actually did like a lot was that shirt. And the Black Pearl, I spoke with him. He's in Italy taking care of business. He told me that he will definitely be coming, and he's definitely bringing somebody with him. And when Pearl tells me he's bringing somebody with him, I keep that pencil in your hands because next time you talk to me, it might be a better name, a bigger name, because we're about to blow out the building. Stevie Armani, he's going to be there. I have I have an announcement. I want to make amends with my brother. You know, I mean, no, I don't. That was a trick. I don't. I really just want him to watch me to blow up bigger. And actually, I do want him to really sweep the floors. And yeah, that's what I want him there for. KZ.
Yes, sir.
KZ, what's going on with you? You want to be there? You want to interview Caesar? Do you have any questions for me?
Actually, those who are listening now, you need to get up off your ass, go to FrogCityWrestling.com, click on the merchandise button, and you need to purchase the DVD for the first show. Now, this DVD was amazing. From top to bottom, the wrestling was great, but the actual production was second to none. I mean, that was some good stuff. Really good camera work. Everything was clicking, and the product is just, it's bam. I'm ready for the second one to come out. I'm ready for the third one to come out.
I do have an announcement as regards to the second DVD. The second DVD will be ready on Cinco de Mayo. We're supposed to have a show called Cinco de Mayo on Cinco de Mayo. What we've actually done is, and Marcus Mack, if you're listening, this is really important. I need you there. I might bring your hat back. We're going to be at El Rincon in San Francisco, and we're going to be doing a DVD release of the second DVD, re-releasing the first DVD. We're going to have some of our guys there. It's going to be a good time, and we're actually going to have a lot of people, Fox City faithful, are going to be out there. And Caesar's going to give a speech. Probably going to have a sash or something. I'll be looking dashing. I'll definitely be there. But it's going to be a great time. So El Rincon, KZ, you are invited. You do have to pay a cover. Just so you enter the dress code, so none of that Brian Billick sweatshirt stuff you do. You got to look nice when you hang out with Caesar in the city. Masks are optional. It's going to be Pinko de Mayo. We're right by the Mission. And like he said, yeah, man, if you went over to the merchandise section and anything there, you know, the hoodies, they're flying off the shelf, and don't let the snipe weather fool you, people. It will be Fog City again soon, and it will be cold, so you'll need your hoodie. The DVD, we tried to think outside the box, you know, at Fox City. That's why the packaging, that's why everything about our presentation is different, you know, because for us it's more about the guys we have in that locker room are so awesome. The wrestling speaks for itself. You know, we don't have to oversell the cover. You know, you get the cover, it's something that's pretty cool, it's artistic. You know, it's got like a comic book flavor to it, but then we deliver. You know what I mean? Because if we were all art and fluff and no actual guts, it would almost be like an emo record, you know, which is a damn shame, you know, emo. So,
Couldn't tell you. I'm a little too straight for that scene, so.
Exactly.
But we do have a caller. Caller from the 415. Whom am I speaking with?
Commandant Black. This is Stevie Armani.
Jeez, what is
that? And I heard you calling me out on the radio here, sir.
Yeah, what is it, Scrubs Night Out? First Marcus Mack, now you? What's going on here? KZ, don't you have a bouncer? You need an assistant, dude. Keep letting these guys through. What do you need, Stevie? What can I do for you?
Just responding to your challenge, man. What do you want me to be there at July 5th for? I'm not mopping the floor with anything other than your face.
Let me explain something to you, dude. I didn't appreciate the radio DJ thing. I think you were trying to show me up. I just want you to be there face to face. I can just tell you how I really feel about the whole situation. You know, it's not my fault. You let a 300-pound Samoan hit somebody in the head with a chair. That was on you. That was on you. I just picked up the scraps and I turned it into beautiful gold, like I do everything. So I'm just cleaning up your mess. But you want to bring out some scrubby DJ, call me out, have some big 450-pound Samoan grabbing my leather jacket. You saw it, Casey. That guy grabbed my arm. That's assault. I got to get put in prison for life. I'm Caesar Black. Nobody touches me. Anyway.
Not even Mrs. Black.
Hey, whoa. All right, that's it. I don't know what's going on around here. If you guys are taking crazy pills. But you have to understand something. I don't know what city you think it is. I don't know what state you think it is, but this is Caesar Country. And Caesar Vision is never blurry. And I'll see you, Stevie Armani, July 5th. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. It's going to be like Ebony and Ivory, except there's going to be no love going on. It's going to be a lot like it's going to be like Tom and Jerry, and I'm going to play Jerry.
Oh, boy.
I'll see you there.
All right.
I'll see you there.
This is too hot. This is getting too hot for the airwaves, guys. I'm going to have to cut both of you off. Steve, thanks for calling in, brother. I appreciate you calling in and trying to put Caesar in his place.
Caesar's in his place.
Commandant, sir, I will be in contact with you very soon. So
hey.
I'm going to have to cut you off because I do have another caller on the line that would like to hop on. So once again, Kezar Pavilion, San Francisco, Fog City.
Check it out.
July
5th. Sunrises. July 5th, it's going to be the Day of Independence. It's going to be off the chain. FogCityWrestling.com is the place to get your tickets. We are doing a new highlight reel. It will be up this weekend. And thanks for making us number one. KZ, I'll deal with you on the 5th. Easy, brother.
All right. Okay, Alex, thanks for calling in, brother.
Hey, what's going on? Damn right, I got a lot to say. Tanahashi is awesome.
Which match is it? The final?
Oh man, I've not seen the final yet. I saw he was in a tag match.
Okay.
I don't know. Just curious. Tanahashi's awesome. I wish Dragon Gate would bring him over. I know he's not in Dragon Gate. I know he is.
So far, we have 1, 2, 3 Champions Carnival shows have appeared. So, the third one I'm sending you tomorrow morning.
Okay, get it out.
So
that, I'm excited about that Dragon Gate show coming to Los Angeles, so that should be very interesting.
Yes. Yes, it is. Did you happen to catch any of the interview with Brandon Bonham?
No, I caught a little bit of it, but then I got right back off because, as you know, I'm at work. I think you had the rain, so I let KZ do it.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, we were going over some of the guys that he's worked with in the Midwest, and he's considered an upper echelon worker, because they would bring in Hala Wicked and Chris Hero and Claudio. He took that elevated European uppercut from Claudio.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, he's considered a higher tier worker. And it was just announced by Caesar Black that on the July 5th Fog City show, Eric Cannon will be in the building.
Eric Cannon, uh-oh.
Eric Cannon. So hopefully we get Eric Cannon, the teacher, against Brandon Bonham, the student.
Uh-oh. That'd be some interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah. That'd be money.
Anytime you get in there with the ring with your trainer, you know it's going to be brutal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So let's check the clock. We have about 10 minutes or so to go. So what's going on, brother? Any big news?
Joey B. Senior, he replaced Mario Shogun to take on Robbie Lawler. That's disappointing because, Lawler's taking on Scott Smith, isn't he?
Yeah, that's going to be the war.
Scott Smith and Robbie Lawler?
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Did you happen to check out ECW to know how Mike Adamly did on this?
I don't watch ECW.
Oh, man, I would have watched it just to see how Adamly did, because Adamly was so horrible in his other appearances, like at the Royal Rumble and whatever else I saw him. So.
Well, I don't watch it. I don't watch WWE. I don't watch, any of that stuff.
Okay.
My time is more valuable.
Okay, well, Randy Couture is picking St. Pierre over Sarah. Who are you picking?
St. Pierre by knockout, first round.
That's what I'm saying. Well, actually, I was talking to somebody tonight at work, and they brought up an interesting point. Like, St. Pierre might come in a little bit hesitant, try to fill out Sarah, see if he's for real on the standing. And once he realizes he ain't for real, then he'll just take him out.
Yeah, it's going to be, easy money.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy money for him.
Yeah, definitely take that up.
He's going to completely outclass Sarah. Sarah doesn't belong in the same cage as St. Pierre. Actually, you know what? Matt Sarah is a lot like George Gergel.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't belong in the ring. He's a better trainer than a fighter. But that's just my opinion.
Have you heard that the Cow Palace won't be sold after all? Cow Palace apparently. Yeah, apparently the Cow Palace is salvaged right now.
That's as of this past Monday, the city council in Daly City, because the Cow Palace is not in San Francisco. It's actually in Daly City, which I grew up in Daly City. And the city council voted to uphold it. So the injunction is they upheld the injunction, so they're not going to tear it down for now.
Yeah,
they need to they need to make it a historical landmark.
It definitely was an awesome feeling venue actually going in there, then knowing all the history that took place in there.
Mm-hmm. Are you telling me?
Well, you know more so than me, but I'm just, I mean.
Well, just so many, you know, I saw Andre the Giant in the Battle Royal. You know, I mean, Hennig winning the AWA world title from Bockwinkle. And, I mean, I've seen so
Eddie Guerrero
many memories.
His first world title.
Eddie Guerrero?
Winning his first world title there.
Yeah. Third row, brother.
Yeah, that was an amazing match against Brock Lesnar, too.
Yeah, it was good stuff. All right, we got about 7 minutes before we run down our plugs.
Who's winning? Chris Franklin, Travis Luter.
I think Luter's going to tap him.
Really? That's an interesting pick.
I think he's going to tap him. I wish they would both knock each other out and they both don't get up. Because Franklin is done. He's washed up. He has no value anymore. And Luter should never get a license to fight anywhere because of that whole missing the weight bullshit. He disrespected the company. He disrespected the sport. He disrespected the fighters.
Uh-huh.
He should never be allowed to fight again. He should be blackballed. I shit you not, man. He disrespected everyone in the industry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, fuck, you win that show, and then you can't make weight? And you knew you had to make weight? He showed up in Vegas at 208 pounds? And then he cut all that weight? I do not like that guy, and he's a disgrace.
Uh-huh. Well, he's no, who was that guy on The Ultimate Fighter? He's no, Gabe Rudiger.
Oh, God. That guy's a piece of shit. And I knew Gabe before that show.
Uh-huh. The Cake Eater. Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.